So sure about what, Deputy?
About Carson. He doesn't stack up.
To what?
As a suspect.
Don't put avocado on the burger.
What?
Simple is always best. Look, Carson killed Jordan in Atlanta. Then those two degenerates at Crazy Betty's motel. Hell, he even tried to kill you, didn't he? Have you forgotten that?
But Carson was a coke dealer. Why would he want to kill his clients? And what would be his motive for killing Alana and Jordan and the Morwood girl? It doesn't make sense, sir. I'm sorry.
There you go again. Now you're piling hummus on top of the burger, too.
What if he was punishing them? He knew Alana was cheating on her husband. He knew that Frank and Goldie were making porn.
And who would know all that?
Someone they knew. Someone they trusted.
You mean like a drug dealer?
Sir, a drug dealer with morals? Come on.
All right, I read Brenda's magazine. Christmas, the number one holiday for people going nuts. That's motive enough for me.
This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Welcome back to another installment of Silent Night NPCs from the podcast Under the Stairs. We're taking the classic beloved movie remake Silent Night from 2012. We're splitting up into 5-minute reviewable segments. I'm getting podcasters from around the globe to join me to discuss the 5 minutes in excruciatingly long form detail, because if not in this movie, what movie? And at the end of that, we don't score it or anything like that. We mosey on out, and that is it. On this episode, we're covering the start. This is 0 minutes to 5 minutes. The majority of this is credits, and Christmas tunes, and a lot of nonsense. If I was ever going to do that with someone, though, I would do it with this man here. He is my colleague, my buddy, over at Jaws is Shite and other regrettable outbursts. He's also one of the masterminds behind Scott Liam vs. Evil. He's a phenomenally talented Liam Rafferty. How are you doing, Liam?
I am doing absolutely average. How are you?
I'm good. Like, this is the last one of these I have to record. And I'm kind of happy for that because I feel like I've spent a lot of time with this movie. And I enjoy this movie. I'll put that forward. This is like entertainment. It's horrible, but it's entertaining as fuck. But it's entertaining if you're watching it once every couple of years. I've seen this movie now in the last month, like in various shades and various time things, about 6 times.
Really?
I'm over it.
I've seen this once, and to be fair, I actually watched Silent Night, Deadly Night, because I thought we were watching something totally different. Until 2 weeks ago, and I was like, wait, I've watched a completely wrong movie for this. So if you want notes on Silent Night, Deadly Night...
Well, this is technically the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, which you would not know because there's only two elements in this movie that actually even reference the original. And one of them is done better, so the impaling on the antler's death, much better in this movie than it is in the original. But the scene with the kid and his ailing grandfather, who, like he's in a coma, but all of a sudden speaks to him. And the original movie is fucking terrifying. Like a wee kid's traumatized. And this one here, it's like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob's stunt double stealing money from his comatose granddad, who looks like a 35-year-old man that they've just drawn grey makeup on.
It's weird. I obviously then watched this after watching the old movie, and I didn't realize it was a remake. I just assumed that there's only so much you can do in a Christmas horror, and being impaled in antlers is one.
No. This is a remake. This is a remake in the same way that House of Wax is a remake of the House of Wax movie, and that isn't really. It's actually more a remake of Tourist Trap than it is House of Wax, but they kind of meshed the two together and put it out as a remake.
That was a great movie.
The House of Wax remake is a fucking good movie. I like people piss on that because Paris Hilton's in it. That is literally the only reason people piss on it. It's entertaining, gnarly effects. She dies in it. So I mean, I don't know what people are moaning about. This one here is poorly written. It's actually overcast, like in terms of like the casting does not make. Malcolm McDowell is chewing up so much scenery, it is the greatest thing. Just watching him tiptoe through accents as if they're all the same and they're not. And what's his face? The guy who plays the red herring Santa thingy, Donald. I can't remember his first name. Like he's in loads of things. He's fucking incredible. His monologue when he's been arrested, falsely imprisoned, and he's doing, it's Christmas! This season, the fucking, like, it's a great monologue, and you're like, you are too good for this movie. Why are you in this movie with everyone else?
I think he's just trying to rack up credits, because he is in everything. I don't even know his name. Everything you watch, you're like, he's in tons of stuff.
So you watched the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. Was that the first time you'd ever seen that?
No. I'd seen it before, so I just watched it pointlessly, thinking.
Have you ever seen any of the sequels?
No.
Right. So no. The second one is the one that has the infamous garbage day line that everyone fucking loves. But then there's another three sequels after that. One of which is marginally related in a way that doesn't make sense, and then the other two are like basically standalone movies.
Right.
And the fifth one is actually a lot of fun. The fifth one is a standalone story and it is surprisingly fun, even though it's set at Christmas and there's really no Christmas reference at all in it. Or snow, which there isn't in this movie either.
That sounds quite good, to be fair.
I would check that one out. The thing about this one as well is, like, on paper, I like a lot of what this is trying to do. The idea of, like, a Santa Con, those things exist in America. The idea that the killer's dressed like Santa, so he can essentially blend in. The idea that he is punishing people for being naughty. So on the naughty list, like, giving them boxes. They don't really flesh that out at all in this movie, but the idea that they're all getting parcels with coal in it because they're on the naughty list. Love that idea. That very, very quickly gets pushed to the side. And then they just go off piste. And from that point, you're just like, what? Don't know what we're doing. And no greater way can that be summarized than the first 5 minutes, which has just awful death. This is fucking awful acting, awful death. So it kicks off, Liam, with a lot of up on the rooftop. You're like, that plays all the way through this. You've got a bit of Christmas music playing in the background. And you're getting this is 2012 this movie came out. So you're getting the interspersed scenes of grimness while this happy song plays in the background. And it is just lots of shots of the dirtiest house I've ever seen. So much so the sink that he goes to shave. It looks like it is a sink full of piss. It's like yellow water. It's fucking horrible. It's like someone's pissed in the sink and not taking the plug out.
Because that's the issue with pissing in the sink. Not taking the plug out. Not the act of actually pissing in the sink.
We've all been there. We've all made sure the plug wasn't in. So yeah, he's like, as he's walking around this house though, we hear like kind of muffled screams in the background. And what I love about this is he first he shaves and then he gets the old nail clippers out and then starts doing his nails.
I have never ever clipped my nails as smoothly as that. Mine, you usually have to kind of fight at it. You end up ragging it all. Things are flying across the room. This guy, like a knife through butter, just
precision.
Everything.
Absolute precision. Then he goes to his case. He's got two cases. One case is clearly the torture case because it's full of things like chisels, which I love how they're always included in torture, like things, because the thought of it is horrible, but they're never used. Like, I can't think of any movie where I've ever seen a chisel used as a weapon, but they're always in a torture bag.
I can think of a real life crime where it was used though. Remember that one in Glasgow where the guy get his balls chiselled?
That's
off?
Right, got them chiselled off.
It was in the paper, like they used a chisel and every man alive just thought, oh my god, like just kill me.
Chisel for
why chisel it off? It's so much
like
worse.
Robin Hood. It's like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Why a spoon, brother? Because it's dull, it'll hurt more. So he's got this bag of like murder implements. And then beside that, he has a box full of ready-to-use Santa masks. And he's like, none of these are good. So I must cut the bottom off this one and then stick a fucking beard on. This beard, by the way, must be self-cleaning. Because there are a few times here where it gets completely splattered with blood, and in the next scene, he's standing pristine, which makes me think he's like, oh, fuck. Like that, he's away. I've changed into my backup Santa suit. Maybe that's why he had three masks. It's like emergency backup Santa suits.
As a man with a beard, I can't even eat soup without getting it everywhere. So, I definitely call bullshit.
I feel like he's speaking to my people. So he cuts off the bottom, sticks a white beard on it. And then we get the old directed by Steve C. Miller. And I'm like, Steve C. Miller sounds like he didn't do a lot. And then I wrote that in my notes as a prompt for me to go and check, which I've duly not done. So I don't think he directed a lot. There is a muffled voice coming from the basement. No. And you're like, oh, what the fuck is this? And there's a guy downstairs. We find out later on this is Jordan, who is a police detective, who is like the shittiest police detective amongst a lot of shitty deputies. None of these people are really good at their job. And two, a bit of a dickhead. Like also, terrible actor. Like the way this guy acts is fucking incredible. He's like, don't do that. And you're like, is that a... Like, what
strapped to a chair and not a single bead of sweat. Just like, fuck it, I'm going to die anyway, so I'm just going to sit here perfectly manicured.
Makeup. Yeah. But he's wearing a halo of Christmas tree lights, which... We're going to get into the physics here. I'm not convinced. But anyway, Santa comes downstairs and Jordan's like, just let me go, okay? Please. Because I didn't know she was married. Wait, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh no, this is bad. And Santa is like me. Santa turns around and picks up an axe because he wants this conversation to end. And I'm like, yes, hit him with the axe. Some of the dialogue here is absolutely fucking amazing, right? He says, just look, it's a fucking misunderstanding. I didn't, I'm sorry, okay, she was begging for it. What the fuck did you, these are words and there's gaps and stutters. I didn't read that because you're her husband. Fuck, I didn't, okay, just how the fuck am I supposed to know that she's married? Because she wasn't even wearing a fucking wedding ring. It's like, it starts. I imagine a writer writing this. Jordan's trapped in a chair, exasperated. He just speaks shite.
See, I can get it. See if I've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. And Lena is like, just looking at me. I will just keep saying things because I know I'm guilty. I will run with things. She might not know anything. But by the end of it, I've revealed everything. I get that. Being tied to a chair, I would just be like...
If you were tied to a chair, though, because you believed that the woman you were having an affair with, her husband, came downstairs dressed like Santa, right, menacingly stood over you, would you use the words, she was fucking begging for it?
At that point, I'd probably be like, oh, do you know what, I'm screwed anyway, so... All right. In for a penny, in for a pound.
She told me it was the best sex she ever had.
She was dying for it. She said your Santa costume's shit as well.
Said that's not even a real beard. She did say, though, that your nail-cutting skills are on fucking point, by the way.
She's never seen nails so smooth.
So Santa,
unlike these raggedy bitches here.
Look at mine, bitten to the quick from nervousness. So Santa's holding an axe, and I'm like, yes, we're going to get the axe. They tease us with this. They're like, I could kill him with the axe, but there is at least two amazing axe deaths after this, so we're not giving you that just now. Instead, I'm going to go, and I'm going to use electricity in a way which electricity and just fuses in general are designed to mitigate. But once again, I don't want to pick too much at it. He walks away. Jordan says, "I swear to God, I'm never going to touch her again. Okay, I get it. I want to get the fuck out of here. Okay, you're not her husband." Now he's worked all this out with no dialogue. He's like, "Wait, you're not her husband. You're just a sick fuck." And then he's like, "Say something." And Santa walks over to a generator, an amplifier of energy, and cranks up to 11. And the result of this is Jordan is electrocuted.
Uh-huh.
Which would never happen because the cabling is insulated. That's why cabling isn't just raw, right? It's insulated. Two, the plug would have a fuse. I don't want to like kick. In principle, it's a fun death, but there's a fuse in there. That fuse ain't going to have that. Like it's going to blow before them. But the idea that an electric shock from something you can have in your house would be so powerful that your eyes would pop. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
It's fucking. It's like the bulbs would blow before his eyes blow. You know what I mean?
See, when I watched it, I generally just assumed that he had rigged up something else. I didn't think it was just the lights that electrocuted him.
I think it is just the lights, dude. I think it is only lights. And
that's painful, then. I thought, right, he's rigged up some sort of electric chair, so yep. It's all good. I didn't think it was quite as tragic.
It is 100% tragic.
As it was.
So he's dead, and Santa walks upstairs, and that's the end of our 5 minutes. So not a lot happens here, really, to be honest, apart from Deputy Jordan dies.
I like the shift. I did like that you were convinced you were getting the axe kill and yep. then you didn't. I thought that's actually quite a good opening. It keeps me interested. It makes me think this is going to do something slightly different yep. than I'm expecting. Obviously, until the rest of the movie happens and yep. it doesn't do that. But
well, the thing about it is as well, they do like when you see what the woman that was tied up, when you see what has essentially been done to her, where she's been fucking chopped up into little pieces and her insides are hanging out. And I'm thinking, like, I remember the first time I watched this, I was like, it's such a fucking cop-out because that's the death that I wanted to see. But later on, when he kills the fucking Jay lookalike from Jay and Silent Bob, like, he axes him in the back and then turns around and you get, like, a proper full-on axe right to this guy's face, and it is like the practical effects in this one are digital effects that blow the eyeballs, but the practical effects in this movie are really, 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 really well done. Mm-hmm. And it is a surprisingly mean spirited movie for a Christmas mm-hmm. movie. Like, I know Christmas movies that are horror movies tend to go on the bleaker side. This one goes all in. There is not yeah. one character in this movie out with the possibly homosexual father. There is not one of them in this movie who has anything nice to say about Christmas. Everyone fucking hates it, which makes me think, why do they have a SantaCon? Like, why this town? Why Cryer? I don't get it at all. But it's what it is. It sets the tone in some respects. The movie mm-hmm. gets a lot better from this point, and they don't shoot their load too early with the kills either. They do mm-hmm. kind of like the next death after this one is the electrocution of a little child. So I say a little child, the most annoying child in the world, and yeah. even then that's electrocution, so it's still not an actual like bloody death. Mm-hmm. You don't get that until, you know, like the woman's fed to the chipper, and then from there it's like blood gore, blood gore, blood gore right to the end. So They do kind of follow a kind of sensible template that way, but this is just a goofy death. It's too goofy for me. I can't take it serious. I'm not going to take it serious. I refuse to.
Especially now that I know it was really just the lights. That
it's
were
just
meant
the sheer. Once again, if there's another meaning behind it, show it. If it's yeah. an electric chair, show me it's an electric chair. But when his body's found, they make reference to, oh yeah, his head's covered in Christmas lights, and I'm like.
I still just gave it way more credit than it deserves.
A pass. I can see it yeah. in your face.
I can see it all, obviously, all behind the scenes. He's rigged up this chair. What a clever, clever Santa.
What a smart Santa Claus this guy is. One of my favourite facts about this movie in terms of the kind of the Santa Claus stuff is at the very end of this movie where they finally reveal the killer as a character, because we're doing these out of order, it doesn't matter. I think we've also played the episode where we revealed the killer, so once again, that's also fine. But when we reveal the killer here and you find out it's basically no cunt you've ever seen in this movie. Like, just literally, like, oh, it was me all along. But like, when the camera pans out, you see his truck, and like, he's got his name on it, but he's a chimney repair man. So he's a Santa killer who repairs chimneys, and I'm just like, that they really went all in with this. They really went all in. They were like, if we're gonna do it, we're doing it right. Let's all the chips in. Fucking awesome, man.
Because in a town this size, once you've fixed a chimney, that chimney's fixed for, I don't know, touch wood, but I've never had to fix my chimney. So eventually, quite quickly, you're going to get through this town, everyone's chimneys are fixed.
Yep.
It's not really a career with longevity.
It's I know what you're saying. And like, it's one that has a glass ceiling pretty quick.
Yep.
Unless the town that you're in has like 100,000 houses, then maybe, and they all have chimneys. Like,
and they all have chimneys, which actually, when you watch the rest of the film, as I have it playing in the background, the rest of the houses don't really have chimneys.
You don't see much in the way of any fireplaces or anything that would even indicate that this is a chimney-rich town. So it doesn't. But then there's also this indication where one of the characters mentions like the urban legend of this kid, basically, who sees his dad go tonto and murder people with a homemade flamethrower. Because that detail's thrown in there, but it's kind of overlooked very quickly. He fashioned himself a weapon. And I'm like, that looks like a, like, what was he? Was he like a fucking munitions expert? Like a real fucking deal flamethrower. And then he goes town to town every year. And you're like, that's the sort of detail you would imagine you would know about on the news. Like, oh, it's Christmas time. Which town will be met with the flame-throwing, wielding Santa Claus killer? It's I don't know. It's, like I say, as a standalone, I'm glad they never revisited this, because as a standalone, it kind of works as this weird little oddity. But that ending with him kind of looking at the camera and all but winking, you know what I mean? And then driving off is like, are we getting a fucking sequel? Are they making me sit through a sequel to this movie? And they didn't do it. So you get points from that from me. Right. Is there anything else we want to say about this? Anything we haven't covered? Are we good to mosey out of here, Liam?
I think we are. Yeah, we're good to go. I don't really like Santa. Years ago, I went to a Santa Claus thing at school, and I asked for, the troubles were all kind of happening, so I asked for peace in Ireland.
Yep.
And the Santa at Strathclyde Park told me that he couldn't get that, but he could give me a peace and jam. And since then, I have never trusted Santa Claus or any fake Santa Clauses, because all I wanted was Catholicism.
The best Santa ever, by the way. The best Santa ever.
Imagine telling that to a child, I can't give you peace in Ireland, but I can give you a peace in jam.
As
if it's comparable.
But I kind of love this idea that in his head, all the world's problems can be sorted with a peace in jam. He's thinking to himself, see if they all just sat around the table with a couple of slices of bread, a wee bit of jam on there. That's how you bring the world together.
Did anyone think about that?
That's like one of my favourite things I've ever fucking heard, man, honestly.
Now, since then, I've never trusted Santa, because obviously I was just doing that to be like, he'll give me bigger and better presents because I'm thinking
he'll
about
downsize from that, I'll get a PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And nope, I just left with sadness.
I also think that had he delivered peace in Ireland, I don't think you would have been able to conceptually understand how big a deal that is. You'd probably be sitting there going, that's not under my tree, Santa.
Yeah. And to be fair, I was in primary, I've been primary one. I had no idea what was going on in Ireland. I just knew there was something happening. And it was not going to be solved by a peace and jam.
Yeah, like they talk about like so I'm old enough that I remember things like, I'm old enough but not as old as Baz, but I'm old enough to remember like Jerry Adams would come on the news and they had to give him like a voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, let's make this man sound non-threatening by making him sound like a fucking Bond villain. The most threatening shit ever. The voice that they had speaking over the top sounded like a pure psychopath. just reading out dialogue of peace. I was always, you know, it was always peace, like stuff that he was talking about because he was on the news. But it was done in the, it's that way where Crime Watch used to finish where, like, look at all these killers that are out in the area, but you have sweet dreams. And you were like, what? They're in my area? What? Well, I want to roll this back. And they're like, bye. And like, fucking, no. And then, you know, the host dies. And then you watch that Netflix series, Who Killed Jill Dando? And they're like, oh, they've solved it. And they...
And they've not.
No, they haven't, because you would have heard about that.
I thought Sinn Féin was a person's name. I had a joke about McDonald's giving Sinn Féin action figures, and I thought it was a genuine man until I was about 15. Could have been later than that. So who is Sinn?
A very Irish in the name. You should have pronounced that right. It's a Gaelic.
Anyway, I'm glad I've turned Silent Night into the trouble.
You've managed to stretch a bit here that I genuinely said to you, there's nothing that happens. We've done 25 minutes on this son bitch, so I'll take that to the bank. Ladies and gents, we are running episodes from the 1st through to the 24th of this month, back to back, which means there will be another episode coming tomorrow. So until then, I'll speak to you next time.